Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things, the show that comes after Weird Things, where we talk about creating your dreams. I'm Andrew Main. Joining me as always is Justin Robert Young.
Does it get to be me this time? Do I get to be Justin Robert Young?
Nope, you failed in your one line.
Damn. I'm Brian Brushwood.
Hi, I'm Bryce Castillo, also here, filling in for Andrew Main.
Yeah, Bryce is here. I'm Justin. Andrew is currently battling the state of Florida, the whole state of Florida. He's taking it on one person at a time. So
if you live in Florida,
get ready to get punched.
He's eating pancakes in the middle of the road.
To the ground, yeah.
So it is kind of a bummer that Andrew's not here because there is definitely kind of a fun cyclical element to what I would like to talk about.
Go on.
When I was a younger man and up in New York City, I wound up getting an email, and I was always in touch with Andrew since high school, and he offered for me to come down and be an employee in his business, the burgeoning business of selling magic tricks with an eye toward all sorts of crazy things, including television, internet, podcasting. It's what got me on the road to be where I am today. And I was out at WrestleMania over the weekend, and it kind of energized me. You know, I looked around at not only, of course, the gigantic, glaring spectacle of 70,000 people in a stadium to watch a bunch of scantily clad underwear men and women rub on each other to victory, but also all the independent promotions and people that came from all over the world not only to view but also to put on and perform in these kind of comparatively tiny companies that were doing great. You know, that they had hundreds, if not thousands, of people show up to their shows, and it got me thinking a lot about what we do. And a conversation that I had with Brian over the last few weeks kind of kept popping into my head, which is like, okay, where do I go now? You know, where am I deficient, and where am I, you know, where do I have to go? Where do I want to go? And a lot of things kind of came to a head, also realizing that we got a big push for the new card game Kickstarter that's going to come up in the next in this summer at the end of June. And I kind of made the realization that if I want to grow my online presence, as well as the sticker stuff and anything else that kind of comes along, as well as the card game stuff, I need someone to help me. I need to hire somebody. And that's something that Brian has talked a lot about. You know, it's something, I mean, to me personally, and I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity, Brian, to sort of put out in public what you have told me privately about kind of the process of hiring somebody to move on, which, by the way, Brian has hired Bryce. So I figured this would be
I especially would love to hear Bryce chime in on it. I think what happens is when you first start doing your thing, you know, money is very, very tight, and there are two things you lack. You lack resources oftentimes, but more importantly, you lack a track record. You lack the ability to look back over past seasons and have a reasonable expectation as to what your budget is going to be, because everything you do is experimental. And the people who fail spectacularly are people who just make wild assumptions about, like, I'll hire this guy, I owe that, and it lasts 20 minutes, and then they got no money. But you are finally in a position, which is, I guess, pretty much – it's very analogous to when I quit my day job, and, you know, that first decade was just me, maybe 6 years. Yeah. The first 6 years was just me solo on the road, and it's super taxing doing all the things, doing your own Photoshop, your own design documents, your promo, you're carrying all the luggage, you're setting everything up yourself, you're training somebody at each gig each time. You know, that first year where I had the idea of getting an intern and taking someone on the road was transformative in terms of, like, not just that it made the job easier, although it certainly did that. But it also made the show so much better because you're able to have to specialize, right? Where it's like, oh, I don't worry about moving that stuff. I worry about setting up the tech. And we're able to set up at half the time. And that opens up an hour to that normally was spent just barely trying to get set in time. And instead, now here's an hour where I get to go through lighting cues with the people on there, you know, and all that extra time yields itself and be like, oh, we could create extra content. We could start doing these Brian Brushwood on the Road webisodes and learn how to do all that. All of that began by unlocking more of my time by virtualizing giant chunks of it. And, you know, so for a good 4 or 5 years, it was Brian and his traveling companion, like Doctor Who. But it wasn't until we really started to grow the retail side of the operation that, you know, we got up to, you know, what are we, a team like 3, 4, 5? 4 or 5-ish.
We are 5 or 6.
So five or six. Yeah. Now we're at the point we're getting ready to add another one.
Right.
And so, but what's happening is, the part I did not expect is that by bringing other people onto the team, especially if there's somebody who is going to take ownership of the project, who wants to be a part of it and see it grow, who wants to ride this rising tide to a position of power down the road when it becomes super successful, those people will solve problems in very different ways from how you solve them. And often, and sometimes, and one of two things will happen. Either they'll solve them and you'll say, oh, that's not how I would have done it, but I guess it worked, you know? Or you will say, holy crap, that's way better than I could do. And it's, you can't plan for all those holy crap, that's better than I could do it moments. But once they start coming, they're fast and furious and you feel the whole operation grow and become more robust. Like, you know, the fact that we're adding a third producer editor now puts us in a super strong position where, you know, I don't know, nutty idea. Maybe some of us can take actual vacations from time to time now and other people can pick up the work. But it all begins with that first person. And so if I would be curious, Bryce, to hear your advice for Justin for how to look for a person or like because you were a special case in that, yes, in that you were born of Chat Realm, born of Diamond Club. You came out for South by Southwest, and I instantly gave you a motivational speech, which is what I love to do for everyone.
That's right.
And I said, like, man, you just got to make something happen. You keep doing the same thing you do, you're going to get the same results.
And then I got an email version of that a few months later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then one day I show up, and then Bryce is just here, and he's like, yeah, I moved here. And I was like, oh, I hope you didn't think I had a job waiting for you. He's like, no, I'll figure something out. And then as soon as we were able to, you know, we were able to get Bryce on.
But you had also had people before, you know, the idea was growing the pie to afford Bryce at that point.
Correct. Yeah. But anyway, so what was going in your head as somebody hungry to get into that?
I had a feeling that there would be an opening at the Brian Brushwood camp.
Eventually.
Yeah. And I knew I was already in a state to like, okay, I know what the limits of what I want to do in my geographic location, and to do more of what I want to do, which is video content or whatever it was at the time, I would need to move regardless. I would need to move to Richmond, to DC, New York, somewhere. And I had a really amazing time at South by Southwest, and that event really made me want to move. But I was on the plane. Funny story. I was in the Atlanta airport eating at some sit down restaurant between flights, texting a gentleman who I was about to start dating, and said, "Hey, I'm leaving Virginia sometime this year. Let's not."
Wow. So you knew enough to like not start something.
Yeah. So I was. Already, I knew that sometime in the year I would want to move down to Austin, and it the planets aligned in a way that would be red flag shaped for someone who I had less trust in than you, Brian. So I was in that very specific moment of like knowing I wanted to move on, mm-hmm. you know, and so. I don't necessarily know what advice I have.
Well, from your perspective, I guess what I want to get from you is the sense of, because right now Justin just has to take it on faith that there's a Bryce out there who would be really excited to work.
And also let me kind of break down specifically what the differences between between what you are looking for and what I'm looking for, and this is kind of where, you know, for you, there's stuff that needs to be schlepped from point A to point B, right? And there was okay, I can set this up in 2 hours, but if I had two people, it can be 1 hour. For me, there's a lot of stuff that I can do what I'm doing by myself, and I can continue to do more stuff. But I'm at the point now where I've noticed with some of the one mic podcast and everything, not only am I not really growing things because I don't really have time to do it, especially because I've kind of doubled down on expanding the content, because it's like, okay, I'll just work more, but that means that I can polish less. And it certainly means that I've got less, you know, you know, from doing, all of you guys know from doing this, it's like when you're done, you kind of need to unplug. Like there's not a lot okay, I'm done. Cool. Let me get all this other busy work done of like creating graphics and creating overlays and like, oh, I should really email this person for a promotional opportunity, or I should really follow up with this person to be a guest, or I should really brainstorm the next big multi episode bit or goal, or, you know,
or write something,
whatever it is. Right? Like, it's like show. And I can do that and I can do fine, but I can't really grow. And if I want to be ambitious beyond it, like with like the card game where it's like, now we have a compressed timeline. It's time to kind of get to work and roll up your sleeves and get this thing done and out the door in the best way possible. That would normally mean the rest of it is suffering. You know, and even travel, you know, the idea that, I had a great email from somebody the other day, I think it was Hot Beverages, who was like, hey, look, when you're away, if you're stressing about not having new content streamed, you know, why don't you have pre-recorded stuff that, you know, streams at the time, and you can just maybe hop into the chat room and it'll be some kind of simulacrum of a live fun experience, so people don't break the habit of coming to your channel or coming to your destination every day. Yeah. And it's like, man, that's great,
but when do you do that?
When I'm gonna do it? And also, if I'm a one-man band, like, you know, unless I'm sitting down and hitting play and then chatting along with it, which might as well be me doing something live, like, then I can't really do it. So what the questions that I have now are, is it worth it for somebody to be local? Can I have somebody do it remotely? What is a fair price? You know, this is definitely a part-time gig, at least what I'm looking for right now. I'm not really looking for anything full-time, but, you know, I think the right person, if the relationship works, certainly. If the money's there, then there's a lot more opportunity that I can immediately chart out. But yeah. I think you're right. The larger question is, you know, do they need to be here? And what kind of person do I need?
I think it goes down to what more specific and like regular things you would be looking for someone, right? Like, you mentioned things like overlays, and I think you mentioned on the jury show, like, someone to kick your butt to get emotes and stuff done. A lot of like little one-time things that are on your plate. And it's like, are they kicking your butt every 20 minutes to get something done? Are they?
No.
It sounds like a lot of that can be virtualized, but, you know.
So yeah, I think, you know, there's like, and again, that this is stuff that I don't know about myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, I do not know who I need. I, in general, have, when I've brought people on to kind of help with stuff, I've usually been very hands off, you know, and I'm not exactly a hard ass, right? But I think with someone like for this, you know, this is somebody that I want to grow the whole promotion with. I want to kind of get bigger and better. And a lot of that is, you know, the sticker stuff and more live opportunities and just kind of taking the Patreon a little bit more seriously. Well,
so here's what you do. You identify the one part of the operation to which you are absolutely vital, and you everything else goes in the pile of stuff to delegate either immediately or eventually, right? And you prioritize and you figure out what you can delegate immediately and what you can delegate eventually. Really, you only have two things that you are absolutely vital to: showing up for podcasts, being on screen. There's no way to replace you, although you can reduce the burden a bit. You know, like, for example, you know, the shows are better now that I don't switch, now that I'm focused entirely on finding that next line, and our comedy rhythm on Night Attack is so much better. So even what I would have thought was I was irreplaceable to, oh, Night Attack is I switch the show and we make jokes. But now the show's better.
That was a traumatic separation.
Sure. I mean, and it forced me to grow, and it forced both of us to establish new rhythms, and that's why the show is much more approachable now than it used to be. But stuff that you don't ever have to do, as soon as you could delegate, you should. The good news is you already have Carter making new designs for you're not the one drawing the stickers. You're not the one designing the stickers. You have someone designing the stickers, right?
Yeah.
Now somebody else gets to also be in charge of having the print runs, finding the cheapest ones, having them shipped over there, bundling them up into envelopes. All of that happens, and you just know it happens somewhere, right? Scheduling, also the same thing. Now, here's the thing. You can find somebody who maybe needs a nominal amount of money to make it worth them to get started, but you can explain, look, I strongly suspect, like, here's where we're at on Patreon. Here's where we're leveled out at this point. I suspect there's more out there if I go on other podcasts, but I will never take the time to schedule that. I will never make that happen. But a side effect, if I did, if somebody, you know, told me you have a 3:30 appearance on this, you know, CNN podcast or whatever, like, once that happens, this will all grow. So I am willing to cut you in, you know, let's say it's a, 20% of all growth, you know, full stop over these numbers. These are the baseline numbers. This is established. This is what I can do on my own. Beyond this, how would you like, a cut of all the action above this, right?
Something very incentive-based.
Yes, exactly. Something that gives them ownership and autonomy and says, you are now helping, I always think of the metaphor of a spaceship. Like, I've been piloting around in a one-person X-Wing, and there's only so much I could do. Now I've upgraded to this Corellian freighter, and I need a co-pilot, it's still my ship, but you will get a piece of all the action that happens above, because we have the increased cargo capacity.
Well, I would say as a middle step between those two things, because that's a very large commitment, and that is something that requires a lot of trust. Like, I bet you have jobs on your wish list right now, Justin, that you would love, that are very concrete one things that you would like somebody to do, whether it's an overlay, some graphic, an edit.
Bryce, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I do have that. I actually spent today going over what I would immediately think to need, and the hours that are assigned to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, collating emails for the doc, right? Like, scheduling guests and promotions, generating or commissioning art assets for stickers and, like, promo stuff. Like, I haven't updated the album art ever on anything that I've ever done, right?
Take those things and either as individual tasks, or, you have an idea of how many hours they should be as some sort of denomination of hours, and say, hey, I've got 10 hours of work. Who will do this for, X price as a mercenary? You're marking out these things that you want so that you actually get a first person hand, view of what someone could do. And almost certainly they'll all be remote. What people can do for these various tasks.
And one thing you could do is, in many ways, what you hope for is to find the right one and to get married to them forever, and to have them always be a part of the operation. But you can start by dating. And one of the ways to date is to have it be a limited engagement. Like, look, this is what I need done. All I ask is, let's plan to do this for 3 months. I can absolutely guarantee you to pay you this much for 3 months. At the end of 3 months, let's see how it's going from there. And you can tell me what duties you're able to accomplish and what would help you. And, you know, let's just hop in and get started. You know, you want somebody who the biggest thing out of everything that you want to look for, the one thing that matters more than anything else, is somebody who, when given a task or when upon coming to a task, takes the ball and holds it, not somebody who kicks it back to you. You know, not somebody who says, "Well, you didn't tell me to do that." Like, if you, that's a no-no. It's like that displays a fundamental misunderstanding about the partnership that you want to engage in. Because as they say, you know, your executive assistant today is your COO in 10 years, right? And so if you're going to build a bigger operation, you want somebody who is fine doing the little things now, but wants to be part of a growing operation so that they can have a good place by virtue of investing in you early.
Mm-hmm. Here's the big question.
Sure.
So I mentioned this on the jury podcast. I'm going to mention it on the politics podcast tomorrow, and I'm going to see who gets in. But Bryce, as you know, somebody who has gone through this, and Brian as somebody who was hired for this, would you take – how much would you value somebody who is aware of the product, right? Like would I rather – because I got a lot of immediate emails from a lot of very familiar names and faces and people that I love dearly, you know. But I what I don't know is how much that's worth. Like, or is it a hindrance? You know, is it something that might ultimately not be super beneficial? Because I do have a relationship and I like these people and you know, it's harder, I know, for me personally sometimes to be like, "Hey, person that I like hang out with and everything, like why are you fucking this up?"
Well, and that's the hardest question. And I think I told this to Bryce, like, it's now part of the conversation where it's like, I have to explain, here's the good news. You're going to be part of the team. You're going to be a piece of everything. You are going to become part of this strange story going on. Here's the bad news. You're going to stop being a fan of the show. Yes. You're going to stop enjoying it. And it's fine. You know, it's going to be work for you and you need to decide if that's okay by you, you know?
And yeah, that's definitely like, I love you a lot, Brian. I love you like a brother.
Yep.
Maybe every story that you have, I've heard probably 5 times. When Brian loves Legion, boy, I get to hear
you
about
get to hear
Legion.
It a lot. You get you to know. Hear it a lot.
So that's on a very personal level for each person.
Sure.
You know, and the amount of exposure, right? If they're not editing your shows necessarily, if they're not switching your stuff, you know, you're going to have a different amount of exposure.
Well, and it was the same thing even when I was touring on the road. It didn't matter what person it was. It didn't matter how good of friends we were. Mm-hmm. When you spend a full semester trapped in a tin can with another person, you value those precious hours away from them so very, very much. And that's fine. That's a side effect of what it is. But if you have the right person who's professional enough to understand that when Brian's talking about Legion for the 12th time, he's working out material so that he knows what to say when the cameras are rolling. Yeah. You know, then that's, you know, that's the important thing. So I have tried bringing people in from the outside. I have tried promoting from within. I would say right now, man, I've had success both ways. So I'm going to say I'm not going to worry about it, because Captain MG had just like a casual fan vibe about him, and he was fantastic.
And I think if, you know, if there's like collate, you know, picking out emails or voicemails or whatever, like, I think that's something that can be a learned voice if you feel that they have just a passing, you know, knowledge of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, before I started, I listened to Chord Killers every once in a while.
Right.
But like, now that I am like in it and
you get
and,
to hear it a lot.
But it's a learned thing of like, okay, so this is the sort of thing that they look for. I keep an eye out for this. And that leads to like, hey, I can contribute directly to the show in this bit or whatever. Like, some of that stuff is learned. I would say it's not a huge issue if they're only tangentially or if they're a fair weather listener.
Yeah.
It's always great to have someone who's a total advocate. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Yeah. But
I mean, it definitely seems like now at least, and cause I've been friends with Brian for a while now at this point, and you know, I've seen the different shades of the Brian Brushwood bizarre magic staff kind of come and go. But it seems like now you've got the core of the explosion for your retail and a production presence were three people that came from within Chat Realm. It was Bryce, John Tilton,
and
what's his butt? Yeah, whatever.
And Rant,
who literally now only just comes into the chat room to troll every, but those are people who knew the product very, very well and were ambitious, knew what they could latch onto. Mm-hmm. And even, in Tilton's case, was away, right? And then kind of found his way back, realizing like, oh, okay, wait, no, there's an opportunity here.
I guess I don't want to speak for John, but it's like he ended up picking up a business that I wouldn't say retail or having a store would necessarily have been in your wheelhouse before Scam Stuff.
Right. Well, he was there at the genesis of it, where it's just like, because we're trying to write another book and then
that's someone who learned.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of learning and wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah.
And that is something that you can kind of get a sense with people. I mean, I think generally people want to think that they're very versatile because everybody does have a lot of skills.
Well,
but someone who is able to change roles or accept a lot of roles, I don't necessarily know.
What we've done lately that's worked very well is you say, I need something to get done. And then or you say, I want people who are interested in working, and then say, hey, I'm dating around a lot. I'm going to hire a bunch of people to do a bunch of things. I need these stickers packaged. Can I send them to you and have them done? And in fact, what I'll do is oftentimes I'll intentionally undergive details, give space for where it's like I don't care how it gets done, but these people bought stickers. These are the stickers. These are the envelopes. This is the phone number of the person who can get you more stickers. For sake of discussion, here's a credit card that you're welcome to place orders on. Make the thing happen. And then, and the more autonomous that they're able to operate and the more that they're able to do it and get right, because you'll find out real quick if somebody's just continually kicking it back to you, then it's like, well, this is somebody who's not taking the ball and running with it is probably not the best person.
Well, I guess the only other question then that I would have is base pay. Just that little bit enough, to make something happen, initially. And this is, again, this is just my trying to think through it, never done this before. So I tried to calculate the hours. And but the only reason why I even thought of that is because that's the first thing that Ashley told me. And she's like, well, can I count up the hours? And then I'm like, okay, well, now I count up the hours. I know how many hours that just by looking at eyeballing this by a month, what it should take.
Here's the other thing. If you have somebody
California minimum wage, and then I'm like, okay, well then how much above that makes it worth it?
But
right?
Here's the thing is you got to remember that if somebody's working remotely, you don't have to factor in California minimum wage at all.
I'm not saying that I legally have to do anything. I'm just trying. That was the only thing I could think of. That's like if someone's like, this is low, I could be like, that's minimum wage, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'll confess I didn't do a lot of freelance stuff before. I mean, I previously came from a salary job out of college, so I had very little freelance stuff. But I would say if it was you, Justin, if you spent X hours on a project, what would make it worth your time?
I mean, that's the problem is I'm the worst with this. I literally and Brian and I have talked about this. We just have that just go and do it disease where it's just it's embarrassing what I will do money wise. It is only within the last 5 years in my life that I've had any idea of what my self-worth is at all. As long as it's something that I wanted to do or I was excited to do, I don't know. I'll figure it out. What money are you offering? And then we'll go from there. Now, granted, I'm sure there are amounts of money that I would not do things for, but it's really only been recently that I've put any thought toward that. And that's included going into debt. It's included, kind of betting on myself that like happiness was kind of more of a motivating factor than money. I mean, it's the reason why I waited in lines professionally so I could do comedy. It's the reason why I moved down to Florida and, you know, packaged magic booklets in an unair-conditioned warehouse so I could do podcasting and be a part of the circus. You know, that's the problem is like, I don't know. I don't know if I would be like, wah, come on, like $200 a month for X amount of hours. Like, that's ridiculous. You're insulting me, sir.
Well, here's what you get to do. You get to say, what do you need to meet your obligations? And they will give you a number. And then let's say that number is lower than or higher than you have budgeted, because you could right now decide like at the high end, I could do this at the, you know, if they're amazing, I could do this. And keep in mind, you can always give raises. You can give raises very, very quickly. As soon as you see that it's working out, you can give a raise. And in fact, that's my favorite thing to do is to just
surprise us one day. Hey, charge me more next time.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I started using the bad news bro meme where it's like I'll get an invoice and I'll send back like bad news bro. That's the old rate. The new rate is, you know, higher. But let's say they want more than you can afford. Then you say, well, I budgeted it out, and especially in these early days, I can't afford more than, you know, let's say it's, you know, $50 a day or whatever. It's like, I can only do $50 a day. I don't expect you to make that a full-time gig for that, but how much can you get done for that amount? You know, because then it's, you know, you're yes anding, you know, it's like, well, because you can raise the price and they can reduce the time commitment and then say like, well, you know, what are some things that we could take off the table that would make it to where it's worth it for you to do at this level, with the understanding that if this works out, I want to keep paying you more and more as everything grows. But, you know, yeah, we're just at this baseline level and this is the first time we've been able to hire someone.
And again, you have a powerful tool in knowing a concrete list of things that you want to do and how many hours you think you're basically saying these X hours, what would be your rate on that?
Right.
Even as a potential starting off point, like
by the way, FitShip 29 says $50 a day part-time isn't bad. Well, you're right. Cause I'm not doing it.
but yeah, I mean, I think especially starting off piecemeal or job based before you get into terms of necessarily a salary or dedicated part-time thing, will give you a better toe in the water.
Yeah. We got to get ready for Night Attack. So real quick pick, if you missed it, too bad on you, but Rick and Morty was awesome. Watched episode one of season three over and over and over again.
It's out there somewhere. That'll be my pick too. I loved it. I thought it was great.
That'll also be my pick.
Yay, Rick and Morty.
Woo. All right, guys.
For 100 years.
It's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.